Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, we've talked a lot about gold this week, really over the last few weeks, but where I want to focus, at least initially here, is on silver, because silver has, and we pointed this out, performed better than gold, relatively, compared to gold, because silver really hasn't gone anywhere over this last about 11-month period, where it's been more or less range-bound. But you look at the big picture standpoint, and really, silver's at levels that I think most investors were hoping for a couple years ago, when silver was stuck in that 7, almost 8-year trading range in the mid to high teens, couldn't really get over $20, had a little blip over $20 back in 2016, but that was sold off very quickly. Then all of a sudden in 2020, silver broke above $20 and has held mostly a little bit more than 20 the whole way up to $30, but it's also been kind of boring, just moving sideways. Craig, what's your takeaway here from silver? Again, trading at higher levels than we have seen over the last, let's say, 8 years, but still not an exciting market.
Yeah, that's probably the psychology of that's probably the hardest part for most of us, in that absent, you know, what happened in 3 weeks about this time last year. You know, if you could go back to 4th of July or, you know, of 2020, and you said, hey, guess what? On, late July, July 23rd of 2021, silver is going to be $25. Be like, oh, finally. Hallelujah. You know, but with everything that's happened and all the money printing and the negative real rates and everything else, and the fact that in between silver has been to 30 a couple of times, 25 doesn't feel so good. And so that, you know, that's all part of that psychology. And I've been thinking and writing about this lately, Corey, because how is someone supposed to perceive this? And I think maybe in a longer term market view, maybe what I've been discussing this week might be the right way. Maybe it's not. But, you know, you think, as you mentioned, silver was holding $26 as support from 2011 into 2013, April 2013. And then it just collapsed and spent from late April 2013 until late July 2020, more than 7 years, basically in a range. Yeah, maybe 14 to 18, 15 to 18, whatever. And that not only was that frustrating for all of us, but it was kind of the new normal, if you will. It was what all of the people that actually involved in the silver market and the silver industry kind of got used to, right? You kind of get lulled to sleep. You get a little complacent. You think that's the way it's always going to be. And why, geez, after 7 years, you can't help but feel that way. But if you're a silver user, a technology company, a silver investor, a wholesaler, a bullion company, a mint, a bank, you just go down the list, a mining company. When you get used to, let's just call it $16 silver, average price for over 7 years, and then all of a sudden, over a period of about 3 weeks, a year ago at this time, you go from 18 to 30. That's a shock to the system. So, you know, I think naturally you might think, well, okay, well, let's just wait to see what happens next, to see if it pulls back. It goes back to 18. And so far we haven't. And so what I'm getting at is, I think, you know, maybe the right way to look at it, you know, this last 12 months is a consolidation, a reset of what is now the new normal. Okay. All right. Well, maybe 25, you know, the range has been 22 to 28, just like the range has been 14 to 18. So now maybe an average price of 25, right where we are, still more than 50% higher than what the average price had been the previous 7 years. It's just maybe what this current phase is, this 12 months, is really just a consolidation, a reset into that new normal. And then we'll watch from here. And I guess the good point is, guys, is that the chart's pretty clear. If we start breaking down through that double bottom of 22 that we saw in the fourth quarter of last year, then we'll know, yeah, crap, looks like we're going back to 18. But when we finally do break up and out of and above 28, then we can start Okay, look, that phase is over. Look, we're ready for the next stage higher into the 30s. So, but for now, it sure feels like we are still just kind of getting used to this new normal.
Well, Craig, that's an interesting perspective on silver, that we may be in this new normal range, like we had spent so long in that $14 to $18 range. As a long-suffering silver investor myself, I really got animated by silver in 2008 during the Great Financial Crisis. And so I watched it go from 10 up to near 50. And there was a euphoria in that move up that we didn't really see the same kind of euphoria. I mean, yeah, there was the silver squeeze moment, but we didn't really see that here. And for the longest time, being a silver mining investor, like I know a lot of listeners are, we heard forever that, wait, once the silver gets above $20, we're off to the races, because most miners were losing money below, let's say, $18. And it was stuck at 13, 14, 15, 16 for the longest time. Then we finally get up to 30, as you mentioned, and then it bounced back and forth in this $22 to $28 range. And it's almost like the sentiment is worse than we were lower.
Yeah.
So do you think that if we do break up above that ceiling that seems to be around 29 to 30 bucks, that this will always be the floor, or not always, but this will be the floor for a long time after that, after having established about a year-long range in the 20s here?
Yeah, that's kind of the upside of putting in a big kind of foundation and base is, you know, if you do break up and out, then you can go, okay, that should at least be support now going backward. You know, should price fall again? Yeah, it's not always the case, obviously. But that should be, you know, and as it relates to the share, I think it's so many of us, myself included, were excited last summer. But, you know, you think, OK, now finally we're really going. And then it just kind of, as quickly as it went up, it stalled out and fell back. You know, we fell back from 30 to 24 in a couple of days. I mean, so we weren't really at 30 very long, 2 days maybe. And this last in February, we're at 30 for one day. But I think our minds kind of got reset into thinking, yeah, silver was 30. Well, kinda. It's really more been since that rally between 22 and 28 with 25 as a median, and that's where we still are. You know, I do think silver is such an issue, it's such a momentum thing, as you mentioned, from 2008 to 2011. You know, we all experienced that. And nobody wants it, you know, until it's moving, which is kind of true of life in general these days. You know, I mean, even if you look at the stock market, what's the stock market driven by, like 10 or 15? The S&P is driven by 10 or 15 companies, you know, Netflix and Amazon and Microsoft and the rest. You know, how many of the S&P 500 companies are actually under their 200-day moving average, you know, aren't reporting good earnings at all, but the S&P keeps going higher because it's weighted toward these 10 or 15 stocks that keep going up. And so nobody wants anything else. Right? Nobody's cares about value or price earnings ratios or rotating into, you know, out of the high growth into the value sector, because inevitably that's going to flip, you know, all the stuff that we used to do 10, 20 years ago, nobody does that anymore. And so, the fact the shares haven't followed through, even though now they're all making money and here we're entering another earnings season, making a lot of money at $25 silver and $1,800 gold, nobody cares. They just get sold off as soon as the news hits. Ultimately, I guess, to answer your question, though, Shed, yeah, I think a sustained $30 price, not one that lasts for 24 hours. You start holding something that begins with a 3, the door opens up pretty quickly to 34, 36, which would be another 15, 20%. And that would, I would imagine, come pretty quickly, because all of a sudden, we're like, wow, silver's $30, you know, and everybody plows in again. There's no doubt it's frustrating. We might talk about this last week, Corey. We all focus so much on the mining sector, and the mining that's our focus. We think about it and we think mining sector's not moving. Everybody hates the miners. Well, there's a lot of sectors that aren't doing anything. There's a lot of sectors that are now perceived to be value. There's a lot of sectors that are overlooked. Mining is just one of them. And that's because everybody just so focused on, you know, what's going up is going to keep going up, and that's where we want to stay.
That's a good point, Craig. And I think there is a general disinterest in lots of sectors, not just the mining sector. But focusing back on silver more in the short term here, you know, normally the experience that I've witnessed and that most people have witnessed is that gold will tend to start leading the charge higher at some points in a turn. And then silver will play catch up and it'll outperform. It'll also outperform to the downside. So when gold starts pulling back, like it has since last August, you would have expected silver to have taken it in the shorts a little bit harder than it did. So I wake up every day expecting to see $22 silver, like, ah, there it is. There's that washout. Yeah. But it hasn't come. It's actually held up a lot better than gold on the gold chart. And so are you still concerned at all of any short-term risk to the downside just because we've seen this pullback in the miners that's out? They've outdone what's happened in the metals recently. And I'm always cautious that, boy, at any moment, silver could take it in the shorts. What are you thinking about for the short term?
Spoken like a veteran of getting kicked there quite a few times, Shad. You just come to expect that after a while. One thing regarding the miners, and I mean, there's this kind of urban myth, urban legend that somehow what happens in the miners one day it foreshadows what's going to happen, you know, in the metals the next. And I've got a guy on my site that did extensive research and went back and looked at like 10 years worth of stuff. There's zero correlation. Anything, you know, anybody that tries to tell you that, you know, hey, the miners rallied late in the day, that means the metals going now, longer term. Yeah. Sometimes you do see the miners kind of tend to roll over, or maybe rally before the shares in a much bigger picture, maybe in like a weekly chart kind of thing. And that might just be a reflection of improving sentiment. I don't know. We'd have to, that maybe is a topic for another day. Regarding silver though, to your question, you know, I mentioned that weekly chart and, you know, the breakout above 18 and 19 and then shooting up to 30. And now we've been in this range roughly bounded by 22 and 28, but you could call it maybe, I don't know, you could call it 30 if you want, but we've still yet to really put in a weekly close north of 28 since 2012. So you've got that band there. There's that low that on the way, you know, we had the double bottom last fall, almost precisely at 22, which should be support, and it was. And we had that low in late March at 24. Off of that low now, you can look at that on a weekly chart and go, okay, well, that should be support again. And so I think this lays out pretty easily. If we fall below 24 on a weekly close, and unfortunately, that didn't look like it's going to happen this week. If we fall below 24 on a weekly close, then then you got to figure we're going to 22. But as long as we remain above 22 on a weekly close, you know, all this doomsday stuff I saw earlier this week about 18 and 16 and stuff, I mean, that's just like fear porn until you take out these steps on the way down. Conversely, one of the things I'm watching as we go into the weekly close is the 50-week moving average, which is kind of close to the 200-day, right? But it's not quite the same. And it, you know, the trends on the longer term charts are always going to be, you know, more telling maybe than the short term charts. Well, COMEX silver broke above, you know, after kind of oscillating around it for 3 years, the 50-week moving average, it broke above finally, decisively above the 50-week moving average in almost exactly this time 2 years ago. Okay. And stayed above it, really did well staying above it. It had the sharp drop down at COVID time last March when everything collapsed, remember, in early March of last year, recovered, reclaimed it, and then got, and that was like by May, and then has stayed above that 50-week moving average with every weekly candle until last Friday. So if anybody wants something that they want to watch here on Friday, let's just see what happens either today or early next week when we approach that 50-week moving average again, because what was support will become resistance, an important resistance. It's about 2583, 2584, something like that on the front month silver, September silver. That'll be the level to watch. We got to get back above that 50-week moving average. That'd be something I think that's pretty important. If we're going to rally back toward 28 anytime soon.
So, Craig, look, no doubt that investors are distracted mostly by the broad markets, but just in general, look, precious metals haven't been going up. They've actually been going down for the last 11 months, and that doesn't attract any interest. How quickly, in your eyes, could sentiment shift towards the metals here, and what would it take to get that shift in sentiment? Because yeah, no one's really paying attention right now. And quite frankly, a little bump, I don't think is going to bring in a whole lot of buyers, because we have seen little bumps that have gotten sold off pretty shortly after.
Yeah, No doubt about it. And the only explanation I can come up with for the underperformance in gold this year is that, you know, the buyers of gold futures, you know, whether you're hedging or spreading or just going long as a hedge fund or institution or anybody else, the buyers of gold futures and really physical gold for that matter are, hey, they've been convinced and jawboned by the Fed into this whole transitory thing. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, let's put it this way. If you'd have told me back in January that by July, the annualized CPI would be 5.5% and the 10-year note would be 1.2, that's negative 4.3. I mean, I'd have thought, oh, my God, hey, we're going to be $3,000 plus. I mean, considering we were negative 1.1 last August at $2,100 gold, I'd have thought, oh, my God, I mean, this is crazy. But the Fed has so effectively jawboned yield curve control by convincing the world, most importantly, the bond market, that inflation is going to come right back down, because only an idiot would buy a U.S. 10-year note at 1.2% if they think inflation is going to average 3 or 4% for the next 5 years or something, right? You're losing purchasing power every year. You'd be a fool to do that. But there's people that are doing it, obviously, besides just the Fed. So the Fed has so effectively convinced everyone that inflation is transitory, that it's spilled over into gold. Well, what do I want on gold? Why do I care what real interest rates are right now when real interest rates are just going to be spiking as inflation comes down over the next 60 to 90 days? And so to answer your question, ultimately, Corey, as inflation persists, and it may not stay at 5.5, but even if it comes down to 4, 3.5, that's still way above the average inflation we've had for the last 10 or 20 years. As it persists, this transitory stuff is going to wear off. And people are going to go, well, wait a second. They were wrong about that. Now, what that'll do to the bond market, we'll have to see. But I think then is when sentiment shifts back toward gold. It'll be gradually and all at once, kind of like the way Hemingway said, we all go broke.
We'll end it there, Craig. Good chatting with you, buddy. You always make me smile when we chat, even when we're talking about the downward pressure that is continuing on the precious metals. Craig, thanks again for your time. I know that you're away the next couple of weeks, so we will take a couple week break, but we'll be chatting with you when we turn the corner into August, and let's see what August holds for the metals. Have a great trip, Craig. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks, my friend. I'll be curious to see where we are 3 weeks from now when we talk again. Thanks for everything.